Blog Talk Radio.
Ephesians 3.
For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Praise the Lord, brothers. It's Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is our newest episode of Vicious Christian Man's Talk. I'd like to welcome to those who are listening. Those who called in at 646-668-2636 and listened online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Or if you received the link on your phone or off the Facebook page, Vicious Christian Man's Talk, we thank God for you, and we pray that something that you said today would encourage you and strengthen you in your Christian walk, in the walk with the Lord, as you live an obedient life to him. As promised in the last episode, we're going to be talking a lot. Next couple of episodes, we're going to be talking about holiness. We're going to dissect it a little bit, explain some things, encourage you in some things, and understand what it means. Because it's funny, as I was reading, and I was talking to a brother, because as some of us who know, we've been in church a while, it used to be, a denomination or movement of a holiness church, and they had a lot of external things going on. But I'm not going down that path, but I am going to go into what the Word of God says about what holiness means and what the Word teaches about holiness. And for this episode, we're going to start with 1 Peter. We're going to start with 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to go to verses 13 to 21. And we're going to discuss that a little bit and dive into some of that, that we can see what the expectation God has on every believer, every man, woman, and child, every husband, father, and son. This is what the Word of God, we have to remember what the Word of God is. The Word of God is instruction, for instruction, reproof, and for doctrine. And that's where we have to be able to go individually to learn to study our Word. And that's another thing that came up in the midst of trying to study of holiness, that we have to know what God's expectations of us are and our position with God and who God is. I mean, it was a lot to it that opened my eyes, reignited understanding. This is why we have to go back to the Word continuously, go back into the Word and study the Word for all those things that were planted in us in the beginning, those seeds of faith and belief in who we are in Christ. We have to, so we have to continuously have a pattern in our lives of devotional reading and studying. And that's part of it, congregational as well as individual. Because one thing we always have to remember every man is going to stand before God and be judged on his salvation as an individual, not as the body of Christ, not as a denomination, not as however our tribe or our grouping here is on earth, we're all going to stand before him and be judged on how we applied and obeyed his word to us. I'll just leave it right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Elder Larry, you there? Can you hear me, sir? I hear you, I think.
Yes, sir. I am here.
Amen. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing well. How about yourself, sir?
Everything is well. Everything is well. We're going to see what we're going to do here as we encourage the brothers in holiness. Let's begin. Can you open us up in prayer?
Sure. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, how we love you and adore you, how we appreciate you, God, how we worship you, Lord God, as being the Holy One of Israel, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. We thank you now, Lord God, for this time of study and introspection. We ask, Lord God, that you would be in the midst of this conversation, Lord God, that it would go according to your will and to your plan. We pray, Lord God, that as your word said, this word will not go out and come back void. We thank you, God, that everyone listening will get what they need at this time and at this point. We pray, Lord God, that this word would reach, Lord God, whoever it needs to reach, whether it be by this broadcast or whether it be in a later broadcast. We pray, Lord God, that it would touch the hearts of men, that they would see differences in their lives and change for the better. We thank you now, Lord God. Now bless us. Open up your word to us that we may understand. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen, brother. Thank you very much. First, let me begin. We have an announcement. We are locked in, tied up, and wrapped up, and we are committed. I want to share this for Man Up 2023. We're back in person, men's fellowships, men's gathering. I encourage the brothers, again, if you're listening to this online or in the, or text or however, come out and join us face-to-face on Saturday, January the 14th, 2023 at 10:30 a.m. We're going to be meeting at the Jesus Lives Ministry. They are hosting the event for this event in January. They're at 320 Crane Highway in Glen Burnie, Maryland, for those here locally in the Baltimore, D.C. area. Again, that's on 302 Crane Highway in Glen Burnie, Maryland, Saturday, January 14th at 10:30 a.m., Man Up 2023. And our theme and what we're going to encourage the brother is check your position. Check your position. Because we have to see where we are. Right? To be honest and truthful, during the last 2 years, with everything that's been going on, brothers, churches, men, husbands, fathers have drifted. But the only way to find our way back is to check our position, to know that we need direction. We need to go back to the map. We need to go back to the blueprint. We need to go back to the word. We need to get ourselves back in position of who we are in Christ Jesus as husbands, fathers, and sons, as leaders in the church, in the community, and in our homes. So we're going to be encouraging the brothers to check your position. Amen. Also, this event, we're asking for, we're requesting a $5 donation for all the brothers to support what we're doing. We're going to provide lunch. We're going to provide resources. And all those who have been to our Man Up events before and our men's fellowships know that we have resources and we're going to eat. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a meal, nourishing meal. We're not giving too much because we don't want brothers falling asleep with the second session. But you're going to get enough to sustain you. God is going to meet your need. Let me put it like that. Amen? Amen. So with the $5 donation, we're requesting it by January the 9th. And for the brothers out there who are hooked up with Cash App, you can Cash App at $ISSUESMANUP2023, all one word, Cash App, $ISSUESMANUP2023, all one word. You can Cash App us to $5, or you can reach out to me directly. We can go, or we'll take old-fashioned money, paper money, too. But for the brothers out there I can cash out, but that way everybody has the receipt documentation, and that we know how many brothers are coming. We can count them up, count the head, do the head count. But I encourage you to come out and join us, and I pray that it will be a blessing. It will be encouraged. And also, I always like to share this. When we're doing the Man Up events, our Man Up events are not, they're not designed and constructed to be sermons and preaching. They're designed and constructed that we would engage and interact with one another and reason together on how we apply the word to our lives and encourage each other. A lot of things we talk about, the group talks about, and we have, again, it's to facilitate conversation, because we don't know what a brother's going through until we listen to what a brother has to say. And we encourage that. We encourage one another. So I'm going to tell you, I can say that right now, that our structure and our format is not a sermon in another service where you sit there and listen to someone preach. That's not how we do it. We facilitate interaction, involvement, and seeing what's on the hearts of men. So I encourage you to be mindful of that and encourage you to come out and join us. Again, that is in January the 14th, Man Up 2023. Check your position. Amen? That's the end of our commercial message. Amen. Well, Brother Watkins, we're going to go in. Again, we're going to talk about holiness, and we're going to touch on a few things. I want to read the scripture, and I'm going to come to you, and you can kick us off any way you see fit to start it. But I just want to open up with the brothers. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 21. So I want to plant the word in the heart, in your hearts and minds, and then we're going to discuss some things about what the word is saying about what it means to be holy and living in holiness. That is not a denomination. It's who God calls us to be. We're called to be holy. But let me go through the verse. Amen. Starting at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust of our ignorance, but as we which have called you is holy, so ye be holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work past the time of his sojourner here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with the corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Verse 21, who by him do believe in God and raise him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Amen. Amen. Pastor Watkins, sir, we're talking about holiness and living holy lives. What do you say, sir?
When I read the scripture and I think about holiness, it, like you said, it's not a denomination, which used to be prevalent back in the day, is what we used to call what would now be called, some would call it apostolic, some would call it Pentecostal, whatever you wanted, but there was a whole movement that used to be called holiness, and you had to dress a certain way and act a certain way, and church was all about self-denial and do's and don'ts. And because of that denomination, I think holiness got a bad stigma. It got a bad rap. So now when you hear the word holiness, it brings on a negative connotation or a negative feeling. And most men or most people hear the word no fun or a bunch of do's and don'ts. So when they think of holiness, it's not a positive thing that they want to participate in. But when I read this scripture, What it's saying is that you are called to live at a higher standard because God is at a higher standard than everybody else, and that the thing that was set in motion to bring us back to God so that we could live holy was so precious that it means that we have to live at a higher standard. Now, it doesn't mean that it's no fun. It doesn't mean that you have to now dress a certain way and act a certain way, and ladies can't wear makeup and they have to walk around with doilies on their head. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. It means that you now, because of the preciousness of the Father that made you, and because of the gloriousness of the Son, Jesus Christ, that saved us, we are now called to live at a higher standard or a higher code of conduct, if you will, of living in this world because of what was used to purchase us and to bring us into this thing called Christianity. And because of that, we now have to live at that higher standard. We are now set apart or called out to live a different kind of life. And at the crux of the matter, that's what I believe that we need to understand what holiness is. What do you think, sir?
Amen, 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 gentlemen. You know, this is the prerequisite of what we're going to go into again. We're going to be talking about this for a couple of episodes here because this is the precursor. This is going to be the intro because I think a lot of things that we have to do, we have to take a lot of things off the table when we talk about holiness because we have to take off the traditions of men. We have to take over some false teachings that we put out there and a lot of things that we want to debunk and take apart because to get to the truth, sometimes we have to go through a lot of what I used to call icing to get to the cake. So yeah. To begin with that, we have to understand, like a lot of things we discussed here earlier, it's not all those things. It's not external, superficial things. To live a holy life unto God, to be consecrated unto God, to be separated unto God, that's where it begins. And it all begins in our faith walk, our understanding of who God is. It's the understanding of the gospel. It's the understanding of the Word of God. It all goes back to what is our foundation of our faith. And that's where we have to strip a lot of things off and go back to what the Word is saying and what the Word is teaching us and what the Word is telling us. What did Paul write and what did Peter write? What did the Scripture say? What did Jesus say? What did God say, even in the Old Testament, all that God instructed Israel after taking them out of Egypt, it's Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all in their Numbers. I know the books that brothers, people look at those books and like, oh, my God, do I really got it? And their head starts spinning, their eyes roll back in their head, and they get seizures. But that's where we can go. And there's ways to get through those because we have to see the instruction what God was giving. We have to remember. Okay, I'll cut to the chase so you don't have to read the Old Testament. How about that? I'm going to help the brothers out. What God gave Israel was instructions on how to live so they could be different from all the other nations, tribes, and cultures around them, that they would be different from them, live different from them, to glorify him, to show the world who he was. Remember, in the midst of a sinful, evil, corrupt world, Israel was to be salt, light, and be the example of the true and living God. So let's fast forward that to who we are now to be in this culture. Not so much about complaining about the culture and what's the other word, chastising and calling the culture out. How are we living? That's where I believe, I'm going to put me in there sometimes. We all have to put ourselves in there. How are we living and what are people seeing when we proclaim the name of Jesus Christ? When we proclaim the true and living God of the Bible, how is our lives reflecting the holiness of God in how we live in? Because that's what it all comes down to. Like you say, back in the old day with apostolic, because, you know, apostolic holiness, they separate themselves from all the other denominations, telling them what they ain't doing right. So, you know what I'm saying? But it was all superficial. But where are we when we're talking about being separate from the culture, having renewed minds, being filled with the Holy Spirit? I think we all have to start there, in the midst of it. And then it starts within our homes, and with those who've known us, our family members, and for a husband and father, how do your wife and your children see you? Do they see you separate, different from the culture, or do they see you doing the same thing the culture thing does? Until the culture does something you don't like, and then you want to get on, or you want to get on your soapbox pulpit and start telling them about the culture ain't this, the culture ain't that, or that's a sin, and start quoting scripture and saying a lot of things, but what the culture's doing, but then what's going on inside your heart and mind, and now how is that being reflected in your speech, in your character, and how you carry yourself? Amen? Amen. I'm going to come back to you, brother, because I don't want to, you know. I got to space out myself so I don't become a ranting and raving. But when we call to be holy, brother, what do you think some of the things that distract us, that get us off of that, no matter where we started or where we are? But how do we, sometimes we compromise. That's the word I want to use. How do we defend ourselves against compromise? And what do you say, sir?
I think the thing that messes us up the most is the fact that we get legalistic when it comes to trying to be holy. We try and make it about a bunch of things that we're supposed to do and a whole bunch of things that we're not supposed to do, and we actually end up living in an Old Testament life rather than a New Testament life, and I'm going to explain myself what I mean by that. In the Old Testament, as you explained it so well, they had these whole set of standards that they had to live by, and they're all set out in those books that we don't want to read in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And there's a whole set of standards that God sets and a whole set of standards that God sets out. And it's more legalistic because there was no middle ground. There was no gray area. You either lived by it or you didn't live by it. You either did it or you didn't do it. And it became a bunch of do's and don'ts. When Jesus came to fulfill that law and to take it out of legalistic terms and to make it a more personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, what happens is we sometimes go back to the legalistic and start to live by a bunch of do's and don'ts. About you can't do this and you can't do that, but you have to do this and you have to do it this way and that way, and you have to do it in this name and that name, and you have to live this way and that way. And we make it legalistic when it's not really about being legalistic. It's about living a lifestyle. When I was looking at this, the first thing that came to mind, And help me to explain this, because I know that you were in the military, right?
Yes.
Okay. So in the military, when you join the military, you now join knowing that you're going to join a branch of service that has its own way of doing things, its own code of conduct, its own rules and regulations that you now have to conform to live as a person in this particular military service. You have to dress a certain way so that they recognize you as a person of this branch of military. You have to carry yourself a certain way to make sure that you're representing this branch of military to the best standard. You have to follow the code of conduct. You have to follow the military hierarchy so that you're paying respect to those above you and following the chain of command. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. We're going down that path. Go ahead.
Okay. So there's a whole set of things that you have to follow, and you have to follow this whole big book that tells you everything that you have to do, and it's called the UCMJ, if I'm not mistaken, which is the Uniform Code of Military Conduct. It's a whole big book full of all of these regulations that you have to follow to make sure that when you step out and say, I am a part of the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, that you're representing them in a certain way. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't be you in the midst of the military. It doesn't mean that you cannot have fun in the midst of the military. It doesn't mean that you can't live a life in the midst of a military. It just means you live it a certain way. And that's the same thing with God and holiness. We have joined an army, and that army is the army of Christ. And we have our own code of conduct now, which is the Bible, which teaches us how to live in that code of conduct. And it doesn't mean that we now have to have a whole bunch of do's and don'ts, but we do have to conform to a certain standard of living so that people know when they see us that we are a part of this branch of Zion called Christianity. What do you think, D?
Amen, sir. You know, I love that. I love that metaphor because you're right. That's what we are. We are the righteous of God. We are redeemed. We are the church. We are slaves to Christ, slaves to righteousness. These are the things that we are, that God calls us, the Word of God calls us as the church, as believers. So then we live this thing out, that we are recognized different from the culture. And that's basically what holiness is. Again, this is just going to be one of many, but that's where we have to start. We are different and separated apart from God. Just as God is holy because he's separated from all of creation. He created all things. Genesis 1:1, it was God. Genesis 1:1, before everything was God, because though he's eternal, he's separate from everything. He's not in the trees. He's not in the all the pagans. He's in the plants and animals and all this. He is God alone, and he is holy and separate. And he makes a way for us as human, as his creation, as human beings, which is the other thing about holiness. Only people can be holy. Things can be sacred, such as all the vessels and the things that were in the temple in Israel, as God instructed Israel to he shaped and molded their worship of him. But now, God, we are God. We are holy to God. And holiness is for human beings, not animals, clothes, robes, whatever. But anything, whatever. There's so much stuff out there. I'm just going to focus on we are called to be holy because God is holy as human beings created in his image. So I'm going to stay on that. Again, we're doing this right now, this show. This episode is just going to be a broad touching on it, but we're going to come back, coming up with follow-up shows, and we're going to break into some things and help, and hopefully help the brothers to think this through. Because as husbands, fathers, sons, leaders in the church, leaders in the homes, leaders in the community, we have to know that we might lead others. And for the body of Christ, because I know, like I always say, I know there's other women who are listening and things like that. This is what the church is called to be also. We have to know who we are. We have to know what we believe and why we believe it. And when it comes to this holiness, we can't not be deceived by man to get us to think we can do something external, and that proves that we are holier than the world, or even amongst the church. So again, I go back to the holiness movement, that they were more holy than any other denomination, because sometimes that could be a cult too. Because like you said, brother, there's a lot of people put do's and don'ts on stuff, and if you don't do and you don't, then you're not really saved either. So we do it to ourselves sometimes. Amen? So it all comes back to, like I say, it's distractions. So I want to break down to a couple of things here, but I'm going to ask you some things and see what you say. Because one of the things he talks about, where God tells us to gird up our loins of our mind and prepare our minds to be called to action. And some of the studying we was doing and some of the reading, and I shared it with you too, it talks about we ought to gird up our minds and be prepared for what's coming, for this life. Because I think part of the holiness is that we are rooted and grounded and ready. So whatever happens, wherever life takes us, wherever we engage in life, we have a biblical, godly worldview and response to these things. Because we don't go, truth be told, as a church, we don't live immune or separate from life. As the unbeliever, as the pagan, as the cult, we all have to deal with life here on this earth and how we deal with it. But as a body of believers who know the true and living God, we engage it differently. And that's the thing, that we have to be in a place that we are girded up in our loin and our minds on who God says and what God says about everything, and we have an answer and how we're going to live. Are we going to live with love and compassion? Are we going to live and learn to persevere through some things and knowing that God has a plan, that the things that happen to us are not by happenstance, that things that go on are not a surprise to God, but how we are to live and respond as the body of Christ is important, and we should be preparing ourselves for that, that there's no downtime in this Christian walk. What do you say, sir?
When we were reading this text, one of the things it said that when we had to gird up our loins, I love what it says when it referred to this. The gird up your loins is a statement that says that you have to take your robe and to tuck it in your belt. And at that time, you know that men wore clothing that was long and down to their knees and down to their ankles. And it was hard to, with that type of clothing, it was hard for you to be prepared to fight with that much material. So what you had to do was you had to grab the bottom of it, pull it up, and tuck it in your belt. And now it freed your legs up so that you could move and maneuver and be able to fight. That's called girding up your loins so that you're now ready to deal with the things that are coming at you. As people of Christ, as people of God, we need to understand that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Let me explain that. We live in this world. We have to abide in this world. We have to be in this world because this is the world where God created us. So we have to live in this society. We have to live with this government. We have to live with all the people that are in this world. But we are not of the world, meaning that we have a higher standard of living, as we've been saying all along. And it's not about do's and don'ts. It's about the changing of your heart and the way you live life according to God. Because of that, you have to now be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Meaning that you have to understand what's coming at you to deter you from living the life that God wants you to live. You have to understand the battle that you now face each day in living this higher standards. It's not easy, man. This ain't no thing. This is not for punks. This is not for suckers. This is not for sissies. This is not for anybody that doesn't have a spine. You have to be able to stand up to some stuff that's going to come at you, that's going to slap you in the face and tell you that your God is not real, that your way of living is not valid, that the things that you believe are not valid, and that you have to now, in the face of all that, be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you, or to be able to give a reason to tell why you believe what you believe, why you live the way you live, and why you act the way you act. This is a battle that's coming up in our face, and we have to now be ready to stand up, to hold up the banner that says, yes, I am a Christian, yes, I do believe in Christ, and yes, I do believe in God, and this is a standard that I now have to live at. I have to gird up my loins. I mean, I got to pick my robe up, tuck it in my pants, and get ready for this battle that's coming at me and prepare myself for the challenges that I have to face each time I go out. Does it mean that you can't have fun? No, that's not the case. Does it mean that you always have to be ready to fight? No, that's not the case. You just have to be prepared. It means that you have to be able to commit to this lifestyle and live it in such a way that you're prepared to defend it and to deal with the onslaught that's coming at you. What do you think, D?
Amen, sir. And this is a thing that we also have to understand. Even when we share the gospel, when we evangelize, when we tell people about Christ, we want to encourage people in the faith, the gospel message, the requirement of the gospel message, because I think what we do, I'm going with you. Stay with me, brother, because we're going to talk about grace. Because the folk will tell you you're saved by grace and not by the law. And you don't have to obey the law. And the law is not this. But that's not what New Testament scripture teaches about the law. The law is a taskmaster. The law is holy. So it's a lot. And being a Christian and being in the faith, it's not a free ride. It's a spiritual journey where our ongoing journey requires our active participation. I think that's the part where the body of Christ is, why the body of Christ is weak in some areas, because every believer, every church member, so-called Christian, doesn't think it's a required active participation thing. They think they're saved, and they just sit here and wait to die and pray for the blessings of God, the blessings of this, and sing and go to services and go to and do all these things where they're not actively participating in the gospel, and the churches are not doing what the churches should be doing. Because if we all honest, we all grown people here, if we're all honest, the church in this 21st century compared to the first century church on what they had to endure and what they did to spread the gospel, what the apostles went out, the churches went out, the churches were examples in the communities. They were of one mind, and then even when they drifted, Paul had to write the letters to bring them back to the faith and what they were taught, because they were getting attacked from all sides. That's not the problem. That's going to happen, but we go back to the Word of God to get back on course and correct ourselves, and that's something we talked about before. And one of the things we're going to talk about is the Man Up event. Check our positions. Where are we in the church? And if we are the church, how far are we drifted from what the Word of God says, what we should be doing? The Great Commission says we are to make disciples of all nations. Is you and your church making disciples of all nations? Or are y'all just hanging out together in your social club and y'all meet for 2 hours a week? It's as simple as that. What sacrifices are being made? What things are being, are we being the church, or are we, again, it's about, are we actively participating in this spiritual journey? Because we are pilgrims here on earth, that our ultimate home and destiny is heaven. But while we're here on earth, God has given us instructions and commands, because people don't like to use commands, because we're not under the Ten Commandments, we're not under command, we're under grace, which is a misteaching and misinterpretation of Scripture, because Jesus gave directions to his church and to the apostles for things they should be doing. And the word I want to stick on the brother's mind right now is active participation in the Word of God and what the church should be doing, in the things that God is doing in the earth. Every one of us, not just the pastors, elders, deacons, and those in leadership, every born-again believer should be in a place where they're active participation in church, and that's where it goes back to girding up the loins of our mind, preparing to go and deal with this life and live a life that is an example of holiness for God, that we can represent him. And that's where we have to start to be and seek in. What do you say, sir, before we shift gears here?
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Deke. You said some stuff that was great there, man. You said that we have to be active participants. The Bible says in Philippians 2:12, it says that we are to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't say that we have to sit and let our own salvation happen. It says that we need to work out our own soul salvation. That means that we have to work at this thing. We have to put in some time and some effort and some consistency to make sure that we are exercising, if you will, the correct muscles to make sure that we're growing as Christians, that we're growing as people who love God and believe God. That means that you have to exercise this thing. You have to work it out. You have to read to make sure that you're doing it correctly. You have to study to make sure that you're explaining it correctly. You have to be able to now spend time with God so that you understand him correctly. You now have to make sure that you're praying so that God can correct you in those areas where you are falling off and need to come back. These are all things that we have to do to work out our own soul salvation or our holiness. It means that we have to now be committed to living this lifestyle, but not existing in this lifestyle. There's a difference between living it and existing in it. Existing in it means I sit, I wait, and I wait for things to happen. I may react to those things. I may not react to those things, but now that I'm in it, I'm in it, and that's all that matters. That's not how this thing works. You have to be living in it, meaning that you have to go get up each day, brush your teeth, get ready for the day, and now live as a member of Christ. Live in this holy life. Live a life that is at a higher standard. Live a life that God says we need to live. And it's not about, again, we talk about the legalism of the word. You don't have to do this, you know. And we get caught up on that word commandment, as you said, because we think it's somebody telling us what to do. I command you. No, nobody commands me. Who are you talking about? It's not that it's commandments to tell us. It's instruction to tell us how to live. And if you look at them, it's more common sense than it is a commandment. It's about saying, okay, love God because God created us. I'm good with that one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, I love myself. I love God. I love my neighbor. Don't put any graven images. It means don't set up any idols other than God. All of these things are common sense about the way that we're supposed to live. And if it were anything else except Christianity, if, like I said, if it was the branch of the military and they tell you don't put on somebody else's uniform and don't put on an Army uniform and mix it with an Air Force uniform and think that you're going to live a life like that and represent the Air Force, that's not going to happen. Everybody has their own standard and their own set of rules and regulations that you have to follow. And as you, when you sign up, you realize that now I have to do all of the things that are necessary to be in this branch of military, to be in this branch of service, so that I can move and progress and rise in rank and so forth. And I can't just sit here and have my bunk set up a certain way and not like everybody else's. I'd have to conform to the way they want me to live. And this is what we have to do in Christianity. We now have to conform our lives. Paul said, do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed. We now have to be transformed to live a life that is different from everybody else that is at a higher standard. What do you think, Dick?
Amen, sir. Amen, and I agree. And brothers, I just pray that the words that we're speaking today would encourage you. Search out the scripture for yourself. Study for the scripture for yourself. Because, again, we are going to stand before God. Your pastor's not going to stand before God for you. God is going to judge you on your heart. He's going to judge you on your motives. And he's going to judge you. Did you obey? Did you obey? If you love me, keep my commandments. This is what Jesus said. So, brothers, go out there and find out what Jesus' commandments are. Because this is New Testament stuff, so you can't don't let somebody tell you that we're not accountable to God, we're not accountable to the moral law, we're not accountable to the Word of God in our life. It's a lie. It's a Satan trying to get you to live any way you want, thinking you free will. That's a whole nother subject we can go into, what free will truly means. when we are created by a creator who is holy and above us, and he created us for his glory, do we really have free will? But we're going to save that for another day, brother, okay? That jumped in my head while you was talking. I said, you know what? We're not going to do that. We're going to stay focused. Amen.
Yeah, that's a whole name.
Amen.
That's
so in the scripture, it also... Go ahead. What you saying?
Yeah, that's a whole other subject, man.
Amen. Amen. That's right. We're going to stay focused. We're going to talk about sober and self-control. And about the word calls us to be sober, not just because that is in okay. I've heard this before. I've had drug problem, alcohol problem issues, been through that, struggled, came out, been delivered, been clean, been set free, lost the taste of it. But however, it's more than just being about abstaining from alcohol, because also we got alcohol. You know, people are telling people that Christians don't drink alcohol. Then you got folks that want to go into the Jesus and the water and the wine stuff, which I'm not going to. I stopped doing that like 15 years ago. Once I studied for myself, I don't even entertain that ridiculousness. But I'm sorry, that misunderstanding of what Scripture is teaching, and I don't engage people on that. I got to be more nicer and politically correct. All right, but amen. Anyway. It's not about abstaining from alcohol, but rather being diligent and self-controlled, willing and able to be clear-headed. A person does not have self-control when he or she is drunk. However, this applies to anything. Anything that takes you off, it could be drugs, alcohol, it could be your lust. It could be the lustful desires in your heart. You out here chasing women. You out here doing porn. You out here all kinds of things. Keep you from being sober-minded, keeping your mind, anything that distracts your mind from Christ is something we have to stay away from. And that's one of the things. It's more about a clarity of mind, self-control, moral decisiveness, the stuff that we do morality is a thing right now in the church. Forget the culture, because sinners do what sinners do. But in the church, step back and consider the moral compromises that the body of Christ lives through the threshold of the church every day. Moral compromise. We're not morally decisive. So the simple answer is we stop calling sin sin. We're not morally decisive on this is morally wrong because God says it is, period. I don't have to explain it any farther than that. That's not what I'm living a life obedient to his word, and his word has said this, Jesus said it, and God laid it down as a commandment that it was abomination to Israel as he was shaping and molding them. But we compromise, go back to the compromising as a church, because we think, I don't understand how we think love is compromise. Love is a standard. And when we call to be self-controlled and sober-minded, we have moral deceptions. The sober Christian, let me read this real quick. The sober Christian is correct in the change of his priorities and not intoxicated with the various allurements of the world. We don't get caught up in the things of the world when the world changes. And I have a perfect example. We're in 2023. We're going into 2023. What was it? 4 or 5 states now have legalized marijuana. I grew up. Marijuana was illegal. It was a class D felony drug conviction. There's people in jail right now for selling weed by the pound. But now we got almost 20-25 states that have legalized it. Maryland, where I'm living at now, they're getting ready to legalize it. It's getting ready to kick in. New York City, where I grew up in New York, oh man, come on, they're giving weed away up there. I'm like, man. But anyway, this is just one of the things. Because understand, when we talk about being sober-minded, it's about alcohol and drugs, but it's also about being a clear thinker, being a man of morals, and living that life that we're different from the culture and the world. So we have to be sober-minded in our thinking. Even again, when life happens and life comes at us, our sober-mindedness is knowing what the Word of God says, and that controls our thought processes, how we deal with issues of life, and how we treat one another, and how we how we engage other people is through what the Word teaches us. So we're soberly and we're rooted and grounded. That's where I get when I talk about being sober-minded and under control, that I am obedient to God's Word. And I want to throw this in for us, for the New Testament church. We have the Holy Spirit living within us that's going to guide and direct us through anything that goes on. And we have to be submissive to that voice, to the Holy Spirit speaking and guiding us. What do you say, sir?
I think, Zeke, when we talk about this thing, when the Bible talks about being sober, I think, again, we get legalistic with the Word and we think about it completely in the fact of abstaining from alcohol or abstaining from drugs. I think the word sober means basically to be clear-headed. It means that you have an open mind, that you understand what's really going on in this world and how to deal with it. Now, we have a whole set of things that are going on now that with cancel culture and everybody else and everybody trying to be the moral majority and all of these things. And the one thing I've always said is that you can't mandate morality, meaning that you can't legalize it or set a law that makes it happen to make people fall into a line to a particular standard. Morality is something that is set in your mind and in your heart, and it's about following the standards and precepts that God has set about. And I think sometimes we go too far with things as far as cancel culture, and because they said this word wrong or that word wrong, or they said this concept wrong, or they used the wrong term, we're now ready to punish somebody or condemn them for what they do. And we think that in doing this, we become the moral majority or the right in doing so. It's not about all that. The Bible says that we should not judge unless we be judged by the same precepts that we use to judge others. We should be willing to understand, and this is what sober means. It means that we have to understand what's going on in the world, what's going on in people's lives, what's going on in people's walk, and understand how to deal with those things so that we represent Christ in the way that we act. Let me give you a perfect example. We understand what it means to be sober, to not drink, to not do, to not indulge in certain things. But you may have a brother that has a struggle, and that brother is struggling day by day, to stay away from those things that he knows not to do. But on one day, he slips up. He's weak. He's human. He falls. And we see him on that day when he falls. Now, we become judgmental because the Bible says you're not supposed to do that. The Bible says that you're not supposed to sin like that. And we become judgmental. We judge him based on what we saw at that time. But if you are clear-headed, you understand that everybody has a struggle. Everybody has something that they're dealing with. Everybody has a thing that they're pushing against and trying not to do. And some days you win the battle. Some days you eat the bear. And some days you go out with a honeycomb suit on, man, with honey all over your body, and the bear eats you. But we understand this, and we don't judge them based on their fall. We judge them based on a life that we know we live. We judge them based on how we understand how we are and how they are. This brother had a fall this day. Let's pick him up. Let's get him back in church. Let's get him back to where he needs to be. That's those who are, the Bible says that we should restore our brother in faith and in love. So we need to pick him up, help him out, and do these things. This is what being sober means. We're self-controlled. We are clear-headed. We understand what's going on. We understand how things are in this world, and we're ready to deal with them in a manner that is in line with holiness and how God wants us to live. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You're absolutely correct. That clear-mindedness that we can see where God wants to use us. And in the example you gave, you're right. We have a lot of, we take scripture and make a lot of cliches, as you know. It's something that we've always talked about before. I am my brother's keeper. Iron sharpens iron. These are not cliches. This is who we are. And the example you've given, am I in self-control? Am I sober-minded that I can see a brother in need, that I can go to reach out to a brother? I can go where to a brother is to encourage and strengthen him. I can speak to and life into him. I can speak life into him that would heal his family, that would heal his relationships, that would heal him and his struggles. We all, man, please, we all have issues. And we have burdens, and we have things that we're carrying. But as we, one to another, encourage one to another and love one another, and have clear heads and clear minds when we have conversations. Because even when we reach out, how do we approach our brothers in a way that's clear-headed? Even in our disappointment, even in when we let our emotions rise, because things can be done that get us upset. It don't make no sense. This is crazy. And then you all emotional. Being emotional is not clear-headedness. You know, you have to get to a place where your emotions will rise up, but then you have to clear your mind and see how you're going to do to move forward and move on. And that doesn't mean that that people are not held accountable for their failures and their actions, because there's always consequences. But will I come alongside and help walk you through? I'm not going to tell you that the consequences don't matter, because they do, because there's earthly consequences in all the things and the choices and the things that we do. But I know God can restore you if you submit and surrender to him. If you start to live obedient and holy lives, God will get you through. He's not going to get you through your consequences. That's the other misconception we do a lot in the church. We think we can do some things, ask for forgiveness, and then we want to get out of the consequences also. That's not what the Bible teaches. There's consequences for sin, but there's also, for us in Christ Jesus, there's repentance, there's forgiveness. And this again goes back to our understanding and application of what it means to be holy as God is holy, that we understand what holiness really means and how we ought to live this thing out. Amen? Amen. Well, brothers, we're going to wrap it up right here for this episode. We're coming back. Some of the next following, I'm looking at the calendar right now, and what I'm looking at, what I want to be able to plant into your hearts and minds. We're doing at least 3 or 4 more on holiness. We encourage you to join us. We are live on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. by calling in at 646-668-2636. You can go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. If you receive the link on your text or you use the link that's on the Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, we encourage you to listen in. You can reach out to me. You want to be on the program. You want to bring your wisdom and knowledge into the discussion panel and be a part of the recording on Saturdays. Give me a call. Or we could do, I take shows during the week also, but just a Saturday morning, 9 a.m. is live and open. Open phone line on the switchboard. For all the brothers who called in or on the switchboard, I'm looking at you. I appreciate you. Get ready to close now, but always remember, if you press 1 on your keypad, we can bring you in, and that lets me know that you want to come in and join the discussion. Amen? Again, brothers, man up 2023. Check your position. January the 14th at 10:30 a.m., hosted by the Jesus Lives Ministry, 302 Crane Highway in Glen Burnie, Maryland. We are requesting a $5 donation by January the 9th from every brother coming out. You can cash app us directly at $ISSUESMANUP2023. $ISSUESMANUP2023, $5, just $5. Can I get $5, please? Amen. Elder Watkins, brother, I appreciate you, man, taking time, getting up with me early in the morning and sharing your wisdom. If you could you close us out, brother, and you can give you the closing comments. Close out in prayer.
Thank you, Dick. I always enjoy this time with you, man, and enjoy the time to come in and talk with the brothers and coming together and let us reason this thing out together. The one thing that I want to leave with the brothers is that they used to sing an old hymn in the churches, like, "We're in the army now, the army of the Lord." Yes, we're in the army. We're in this branch of Zion, and we now have to live as a man in this branch of Zion. We have to now understand it's not about a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not about a bunch of legalistic terms that we need to follow. It's not about being a moral majority. It's about living a lifestyle that is pleasing to God, understanding all the things that were done to get us to this point, all the things that were done to make sure that we were that salvation was available to us, and all of the precious gifts that were given to set us up to be able to have this salvation and to live this life. We need to now live a lifestyle that's worthy of all of those gifts. The Bible says that God said, "Be holy, for I am holy." So this is a standard that we now have to live by. This is the standard that we now need to aspire to. And just like in any other branch of the military, we now have to follow the code of conduct that is set before us, and that is these 66 books in the Bible that set us up to live a life of holiness, not a denomination, not a particular way of living, not a bunch of do's and don'ts, and it's not about external features like your clothing or the lifestyle, but it's about the lifestyle that you lead. So this is the standard that we are given. This is what we're striving for. Now we're going to close out in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, how we love you and adore you, how we appreciate you for all that you're doing. We thank you for the word that has gone forth. Now, Father, we pray that you would seal this word in our hearts, that we would understand it, that we would live by it, and that we might not sin against you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Deke.
What? Now go tell somebody you're close to.